we're going. We know what we're doing.
We know what we're doing.
Oh.
We're going to talk about more of...
Are you stopwatching?
Yeah, I guess.
We're taking more hits off the motherboard today, right?
It's not, keeps telling me charging is not supported.
What does that mean, charging is not supported?
Don't charge. Justin.
This is Bruce.
And this is Mike.
And this is...
The Breaking Crash!
Bandicoot.
Bandicoot? Crash Bandicoot. I see what
you're saying. Bandicoot.
Bandicoot. I think you're right.
Coot.
Anyways, so we're in Season 4, Episode 15. Or Episode 55. For those of you who are carrying
it's anymore. Season 4.2...
Shut up with your points.
Episode 11, Stardate 6-4.
Yeah, we never did look up the Stardate, did we? We're supposed to do that. We never did. Justin, what Stardate is it today?
I meant to look into that, too.
Okay.
I think it was going to be one of the things I...
It's like 11-teen.
I think you're making stuff up. 11-teen? Is that a real thing? Right?
Today's the 52th day.
The 52th.
This year.
I think you're mixing up your numbers a little bit there, Bruce.
These are all my numbers.
So, we're back with another exciting, riveting experience for the break-ins.
So, August is coming to an end. Maybe I'm on vacation next week. Let's podcast the hell out of this son of a bitch.
And we've been doing this now for 4 years.
What?
4 years? 3 years.
God, that's sad.
No, it's 4 years.
Is it 4 years?
4 years, because Liz was pregnant.
Okay.
And Ethan's now three, right. So yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be four years.
Okay. What is that, like 11 episodes a year?
We Eric Larson'd this bitch up this year, so, well, you know when, like, he would go for, like, long periods of time, and there was, like, a time where he put out, like, I don't know, Justin, what is he putting out, like, he put out 6 issues in 3 months or something like that. So we played Larson catch-up is what we did.
As we should have.
As we should have. We love you, Eric. Just keep name-dropping you whenever we can. Maybe one day you'll listen.
Nope. Not going to happen.
Probably not going to happen.
He's immune to charm.
You ready?
Yep. What's Stardate?
For what? Negative. Because we have not gotten to Stardates. Negative. 309.381.37639523076 is the current, at this time of recording, time
Stardate.
And date. There you go.
Huh.
How is it not a start? Like, why are we not negative?
Because we're in negative mode.
Warp hasn't been...
We're in BC.
Invented yet. I think it's BW.
Calculation.
I'm sorry. Before, I like before warp. I think a little better. BC sounds too biblical. B-dubs. B-dubs. It's B-dubs. Yeah, I'll go with that. It's before warp, and I want some chicken wings right now. Let's get this thing on. Give me some loaded fries or the loaded potatoes with the sour cream.
Wedges?
Yeah.
Before warp?
Warp.
And before warp.
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 Oh.
It is before the warp.
It's before the warp.
What are you, Boston now?
The warp.
The warp.
He's got the wolf on him.
So anyways.
I'm back.
We're back. Justin's back.
From Botswana. From Botswana?
Yeah.
I think he was getting those Asian massages is what it was.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Nothing, man.
Happy humans.
For
you.
We're going to... I'm leading the ship again.
Yeah, here we go.
I listen to the podcasts.
Captain, my captain. Those were awesome, guys, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. You guys should record like 2 or 3 tonight. We recorded one. It took us 10 hours.
That's not true. I ended up having to stop the last one because my son was barging in. I get what's up.
Yeah. Being a dick. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to also comment on that. I left a very lengthy comment.
And I said thank you.
On the last podcast.
Oh.
And then I went, as I'm commenting on it, I went to research something to make sure I was very accurate about it. And when I came back.
5 minutes.
It was gone.
My website has 5 minutes.
So
it boots you.
I
what you could do is just post.
It was a really good comment. Well, it was about,
you know, you could.
I was researching Mike's
lightning the bottle twice, buddy.
Inaccuracy on the fact that he did not write Spawn. He only drew.
What are you talking about,
Eric Larson?
Did I say right? I meant Drew.
I know, but it's okay.
Then I
corrected a bunch of other inaccuracies of the show. Love you guys.
I would love you more.
You
if you would have actually posted.
Do you watch the show Pardon the Interruption on ESPN? Because you're the guy at the end who always corrects them on what they're wrong on throughout the show. That's what you are. Thank you. I'm glad you were able to research it.
I only know that show because they had one of the most efficient L-bars in television.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Breakdowns.
Anyways.
For those who do.
So we're going to talk sports apparently today. Talk about Johnny Football, and Tim, he's going to make it for a Heisman today.
We're going to talk about Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And the way Pete Rose should be allowed to publicly behead him.
And be in the Hall of Fame at the same time.
Yes.
There you go.
He should be in the Hall of Fame for beheading Alex Rodriguez.
Exactly.
I don't know a lot about sports. I don't give a crap about that stuff. But for some reason, Pete Rose matters to me. I don't know why.
It's an Ohio resonation is what it
is. He's got a hot Asian wife, and he does, Mattress City commercials. That's really all I know about
that. Plus, he was in wrestling at one point in time.
Sure, he's got that too, I guess. But I don't understand why he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
We don't need to talk about
it. We can place bets on it.
Hey, I see what he did there.
Oh, I can take some steroids and beat you up. But that's okay!
That's right.
Anyways. So we're going to talk about comics and
comics
stuff.
And, yeah, we're going to talk about some comics. What comics and movies have we been checking out recently? Maybe Man of Steel?
No, I
went to... You still haven't seen
Mulan.
It?
So here's the thing.
Jesus, you want to watch Mulan real quick? We can talk about that.
I mean, I've seen Mulan, okay. But not until, like, this year, because it was on Disney, okay?
Okay, so hang on, let's figure this out. You waited until now to see Mulan. That came out, what, like, 97, 96?
Somewhere around there.
So...
I'm resurging.
You're
resurging. I think it was 98.
Whatever. I'm still...
Are you resurging or resaging? What are you doing? Anyway, so... The point is,
we have to wait a decade for you to see Man of Steel.
No, so here's what happened. Liz and I actually had a date night, and we were going to go see a movie, and I'm like... Sweet, we can go catch one of these movies we've been waiting to go see. I'm like, I'll do whatever's the time running. I'm like, we'll hit Iron Man or Star Trek or Man of Steel.
Lone Ranger?
All of them gone. All of them are out of the theater. So I'm like, shit, okay. What do we got? Wolverine, screw it, we're going to see Wolverine.
How was that? Was that
actually really good. It was actually pretty impressive.
It wasn't one of the two I was planning on seeing.
It was way better, and it's really hard to imagine, I know, because the first Wolverine Origin movies was so badass.
I've only ever seen that like 5 minutes at a time on FX.
It's okay. Yeah. It's
I think there's someone using a chainsaw?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. But anyways, this... You could have even called this the prequel to Days of Future Past, almost.
Okay.
It was almost an X... There was some weird stuff in it, but the storytelling was so much better than, I think, some of the previous X-Men movies. I mean, it blows Last Stand out of the water, which isn't that hard to do. What was it?
Brett Ratner?
Yeah, Brett Ratner. Yeah.
Well, this director's... I like the director.
Yeah.
Who is this?
He did 3:10 of Yuma and Night and Day.
And Hannah?
No.
Oh, not that guy?
Night and Day was a good movie.
He didn't do Hannah.
No.
That was Carahan.
I like that guy.
But anyways... it was really good. The ending, or like, the big reveal was kind of okay, and then the ending was pretty solid, and then it leads into the next movie, which I'm like,
are you geeking on spoilers about this?
I know enough. But
okay, so he can tell me?
Yeah.
You know I don't give a
shit about
this. Okay, so...
I know you don't, so it's okay.
The Silver Samurai, obviously, is the bad guy, right?
Okay, sure.
And
is it one of the trailers?
Right. Wolverine gets his claws chopped off because, like, the Silver Samurai has, like, an adamantium blade.
Okay.
And so he's back to bone claws. So, you know, he finally defeats the Silver Surfer with some help from...
Silver Surfer. Oh, it calls me!
Hey, it's all Fox. It can actually happen. So, anyways. But the cool thing is, at the end, it jumps... Like, Wolverine decides to go back and find the X-Men, is what it is. And then, at the end of the movie, it jumps forward 2 years. And he's standing in an airport, and all of a sudden, as he's getting ready to walk through the metal detector, he said, I'm just, you know, go ahead and just pat me down, you know, because I'm not carrying everything. It's like it's a hip replacement or something. And all of a sudden, you just notice people stopped. And you're kind of like, that's weird. And I'm like, well, clearly Xavier's going to come out of here. But then Wolverine can't move, and Magneto is back with powers, and
he powers says... Booth?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go
on. He's back.
Powers Booth. Actor. Powers.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Sorry. Okay.
Man, that should have been funny.
It is retro now. But anyways, so Magneto's back with powers, and he's saying that he's like, I'm not here to fight you. There's another thing, and they show like a Trask commercial that had been on in the background or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, which I think I don't know if it's actually been pointed out, but as I'm watching, is they show a guy who's kind of just behind Logan and off to the right, and it's a black guy with dreadlocks, and I'm like, that's the guy who's going to play Bishop. And I have not seen anybody point this out on, like, Newsarama or anything like that, or maybe Bleeding Cool has.
So was that the button?
What's that?
Was there anything after the credits, or was that it?
No, and then Charles Xavier rolls up, and he says, there's something better, and I always told you there's more than, or yeah. you're not the only one of
so
us.
So he's
out
in
there.
The chair.
Yeah. Okay. He's back in the chair.
I wasn't sure because, you know, he took over that other guy's body.
Right. So the they don't really explain that, but they'll probably explain it in Days of Future Past. Okay. So, but it was overall, I'd say a solid 7.
Didn't they do something good. Like that in the comics where he was in like a cloned body? But it was because something in his mind was telling him he was crippled?
Yes.
Shiar
gave him a new body, but yeah. he was still crippled. Here. At my brain.
Well, in Grant Morrison, Zorn had fixed him, and it was actually Magneto, and he had fused his spine. Yeah. That was kind of a cool-ass thing, too. I like that. I like Grant Morrison's run on X-Men a lot.
As do I.
1998.
That was Mulan?
Hey.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so
you got one right there.
We got 15 years, but
I called...
He got 90. I said 97, 90.
Oh.
So, 15 years for Man of Steel.
Yeah, probably.
Sweet.
Actually, I'm probably going to try to hit up Dan Barry to watch it here soon, so...
Okay. It's on the internet.
I'm not... Anyways. But yeah, I saw that, and that was pretty good.
Good. So. Good. Good for you.
Like you said.
Oh, you brought up the new Star Trek movie. Did you see it was voted the least liked Star Trek movie?
When I put that thing up there, I'm like, wow, that thing got bombed. It was really funny, because it's like, Wrath of Khan, Star Trek Into Darkness. Damn, like,
yeah,
damn, what
that's
the
crazy. Crap. Galaxy Quest.
Out of Galaxy Quest!
I love Galaxy Quest!
I love Galaxy Quest. I'm just like, out of Galaxy...
Justin, Galaxy Quest?
Oh, Justin.
Oh, no, Galaxy Quest is a good movie. So I don't think it should be on the list.
I think now it is a Star Trek movie.
No.
I think it making that that poll or list or whatever, it officially makes it a Star Trek.
Fine.
Who was it? I can't even remember. Was it
I think I'll put Terminator in one of my top favorite Back to the Future movies.
You should.
Because I'll just put it on the list.
Well, hang on.
And it'll be canon.
Which Terminator?
3.
He did that on purpose.
Wow.
He did that on purpose.
You know, 1 is my least favorite. So.
Which one?
It's long. It's really drawn out.
And the music's horrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 2 is so. Like, has all the epicness that you need out of, like, that.
And 3 tries to repeat that.
Yeah.
And 4 I never saw. Because Christian Bale yelled at a lighting guy. That's the only thing I know about that movie.
See, that's all I know, too. I watched the beginning part of it. It was kind of interesting. But
do I come to your job? And actually, you are at my job, Christian Bale.
Did you see they parodied that on Family Guy too, where it's like Peter's the guy that he's getting yelled? He's like, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean." Like, it's really funny. But they use the actual audio from Christian Bale.
We're upsetting Justin.
Oh, he's not. He's good.
I'm good.
Any movies or what? Any movies you've seen recently, Bruce?
No,
no, no movies.
I've been watching some British TV shows.
Yeah,
Being Human is it's on its final season. I have one episode left on that.
I heard that's so much better than the American version.
Yeah, but turns out there's only like a total of like 40 some episodes. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
but I really like that show. What else? I told you Helen Wheels is back. Yeah. I'm watching that.
I've been getting caught up on Venture Brothers.
Excellent show. I just finished getting caught up on it. I am trying to think. Yeah, I think the last thing I saw in the movie theater was
Man of Steel. Man of Steel.
Finished Sherlock.
Oh, yeah.
That was good stuff.
Is it 2 seasons or 3 now?
It's the third season's coming out.
Okay.
Now that they're both done with.
What do you think of Irene Adler?
Love it. Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite episode. The ending of that is amazing.
Yeah.
On Netflix, Mike.
Movies. Ted.
Yeah.
I like that movie a lot.
No interest.
It's funny, man.
Cloud Atlas. I really enjoyed that movie a lot.
That was
Ralphie had no interest in it.
So I wanted to see that based on the cast, not so much on the directors. It looked interesting because it's the Wachowski brothers, yeah,
Siblings.
Yeah, one's a sister now.
Yeah, one's a girl.
Oh,
yeah. Do your research. Yeah. I'm marking this in my comment section.
You know what's really interesting is that you know the band Life of Agony.
Nope.
Oh, keep going. Their singer did a sex change recently too.
Which to which?
Male to female.
You think Larry is now Lana?
Interesting. Another. So the Wachowski siblings. Okay. But right. The movie.
And someone else.
I think you'd just say the Wachowskis.
Oh, yeah, there was a third person. Who was the third person?
I don't know his name, but he directed several of the storylines. There's 6 different storylines going on.
Right. And it's multi. Like, it's the same people throughout time, too, right? Or is that.
The actors are all on the different timelines. But they're not always playing someone connected with the other person.
It's not a reincarnation thing?
No, it is reincarnation.
Okay.
But the reincarnation isn't always being played by the same
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
But all the actors are in each one. You just have to look for them. Sometimes it's just like a quick...
Is it less insane than Fountain?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. I think Fountain's even got more of a... Fountain's more linear, if you will. This movie just keeps jumping back.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be do one story and then another
story.
Oh,
it jumps back? This one just keeps going it jumps backwards? It doesn't jump
It jumps...
All over the place.
Yeah, it just keeps coming back from one story to the next. One story to the next. Sometimes not always in the same order.
Either of you read the book?
No.
I
read parts of it when they first talked about it. And it's like it's a story of someone who finds another story, and then they begin reading that story, and then their story is over. Mm-hmm. That's how it's done in the book. It's not, there's no reincarnation or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's
this just is all like, jumbled.
It's a story about people reading stories.
No. Not in the movie.
Okay.
I wanted to see it because like, Tom Hanks is one of my favorite actors. And
him to be in it made me think, oh, this instantly has to be good.
Not necessarily, but it's enough to intrigue me to want to watch it, too, because the projects that he signs on to, he's very picky anymore, and he's allowed to...
And he doesn't get paid up front anymore. He only does back end.
There's one where he was and I'm like, wait, is that Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Because he was a gangster guy.
Nice. I'm really interested to see the movie where he's playing Walt Disney, and he's, like, casting Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
That looks really good.
Saving Mr. Pitts or whatever.
Hansel and Gretel, I didn't care for that.
Oh, with Renner?
Yeah.
That looked awful. I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
I didn't like it. And for me, that's like a movie.
That's saying something, because I'm not saying you're not picky about your movies, but you're really not that picky about
your Justin movie. Likes liking things.
Yeah. And
especially movies.
And not that one. I just watched Freezer Burn, which I liked a lot.
Is that a sequel to The Ice Harvest?
No. It's about a guy that falls in love with a girl half his age. So he cryogenically freezes himself. So then when he wakes up, she'll be the same age.
That's right.
Him.
Kind of creepy. Does it not work out?
I don't. I'm not going to ruin it. It's an independent movie. It's very comedic and but not a comedy.
Right.
And it's got some sci-fi.
More quirky than comedic.
Yeah, quirky.
Have you seen Safety Net Guaranteed?
Not yet. It's on our
you
list.
You should see that.
Because we like her
really
from
good movie.
Parks and Rec.
Movie
43.
Yeah,
that movie was funny.
It looked horrible.
I laughed my ass off.
I just laughed at the trailers because the trailers were killing me when I watched the Red Band trailers, and I just laughed, and I'm like, well, these are clearly the funniest parts of the movie, but I thought it was I think just the trailers
were funny. Stephen didn't think it was as funny as I did, but...
Those are a series
I
of shorts,
have such,
right?
Yeah, such an out there. So out there. It's past normal.
Is it a National Lampoon thing?
No.
It's I can't remember who it is, but it's like eight different directors too.
The Farley guy was in charge of it,
right?
Yeah, but he didn't direct everything.
Didn't James Gunn direct one of the sequences?
Yes, he did one with an animated cat.
A lot of people didn't like the movie because they thought people when they do these movies with series of shorts in it, they don't enjoy them as much. They don't do well for audiences.
It was connected. They're all connected.
Okay. See, I didn't.
Yeah, there was actually line.
Anthologies don't work in
was
movies
a line that
or comics.
There was an old movie from the 70s called Kentucky Fried Movie. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I used to.
That movie's great. And it's an anthology, but it's just the most, it looks like a series of Saturday Night Live bizarre clips. And that's what I thought of this. And I like anthology stuff.
Well, Amazon Women on the Moon.
Right.
The next movie after Kentucky Fried. This is what they kind of went with. Those two movies as a basis.
I get you.
But yeah, I thought it was...
Have either of you seen the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
Yeah, I watched it.
Is it a full trailer or is it a
teaser?
No,
it's leaked.
It's
clips.
Somebody's iPhone.
Oh, I have not seen it.
It's good.
What I saw...
Yeah,
very
interesting.
Yeah, he's in it.
Firing a gun.
There's a clip of him.
Tell you what, we'll do is on the break.
Yeah.
We'll...
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. We'll talk about this later on. So what are we?
I think it's
that's it. Yeah.
I think it's break time.
All caught up. Yeah.
So that was 50 minutes of BS. Maybe we'll have some more meat later.
What? Cincinnati Comic Expo.
Arr, have you been looking for a treasure of a good time? Then set sail for Cincinnati, Ohio, and you will have a beautiful weekend. Here are some guests who will hook you in. John Rhys Davies in his only U.S. appearance of 2013. The Bleeding Blue Ranger, David Yost. Green Lantern artist, Doug Mockey. James Bond villain, Richard Kiel. Writer of Animal Man and Justice League Dark, Jeff Lemire. The Expo marks the spot of where to go for the best comic show in Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Comic Expo. The weekend of September 13th in the year of our Lord, 2013. At the Duke Energy Center. Find more information at CincinnatiComicExpo.com.
What? Cincinnati Comic Expo.
All right, guys, we are back here with episode 55.
Part 2.
Segment 2.
Segment 2. Now, something I've been thinking about recently as I watched, we were talking about movies earlier, and I watched Django Unchained recently, and that movie caught a lot of flack because of racial. Yeah, well, we can just say racial slurs.
Okay.
A lot of racial, it's more than just that. There's a lot of racial slurs. Now, it's also used in comics a lot of times, too. What was it? I read Pearson. What's it? What's his name?
Jason Pearson.
Jason Pearson. I read his...
Body Bags?
Huh?
Body Bags?
Body Bags. I read Body Bags. That book's full of racial slurs. I mean, Latino slurs, gay slurs, just about anything you can kind of come up with. Black slurs.
But I've never heard that comic take a lot of flack for it.
Right. And that came out in like end of the 90s, Justin? The mid-90s?
In the 90s.
I think it's been trickling out ever since then.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, he does little one-shots. But that comic never caught any flack. Now, given it was independently published, it was, I think, through...
12 Gauge?
12 Gauge, which has now been picked up by Image, if I'm not... I think it's a subsidiary, maybe, or... Pardon. I know Image released the trades.
Yeah. Image may just be acting as the distributor.
Could be. Now, we're three white guys. Like, let's just be honest about it.
Yeah.
Where do you stand about context versus?
Are we all like Christian?
No, I don't. I don't. Well, I don't think. I think we had this conversation
on the way down to Derby.
Derby. Yeah.
We all realize that we're heathen atheists.
Yeah, right,
for the most part. Or maybe like. We think there's something out there, but we think it's like smoke and mirrors, you know what I mean?
Baptist upbringing, whatever that is.
Yeah. So,
not even a Jew.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, yeah, exactly. So, there's things like that. Are you okay with using slurs in context things? Because I think just outright just having someone yell the N-word. But if you have a black character and he's playing a thug, is that too stereotypical or generic? You know what I mean? And if he's just calling everybody... You know, whatever.
My this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you showing too much? Was it gumption? Is the word I'm looking for?
Moxie.
Like, are you overstepping your boundaries of where you should be able to take this character? That's my question to you guys. What's your thought about it?
What do you think, Justin?
My thoughts on using the N-word in movies has changed over the years from being totally insulted every time I heard it to recently watching Django Unchained, where I don't like the word, but it didn't offend me like it used to, only on the basis that I found it hysterically funny that it was kept on being used.
Right.
As opposed to taking it seriously. I just found it to be kind of...
So are you numb to it now? Or
No. No, it's more of a... It was insanely used.
Oh, it's over the top. It's ridiculous. Like, there's times where you hear it so many times, you're just like... Are you still using the word?
I haven't seen Django yet.
It was like watching a movie where, I guess, watch a movie where someone gets killed and it affects you in some way. Or you watch a movie like Expendables.
Where they're just killing everybody.
Yeah. And it just becomes so ridiculous.
Right.
That's my...
To me, it all comes down to context.
Yeah.
Like, who's saying it and what they're saying it in. Television show I really like right now, Hell on Wheels. They use it all the time, but it takes place in 1866, 67.
And that's how people will refer to it.
Yeah, and that's just how it was. You know, the slaves are free, but, you know, they still refer to them as that. And that's not a politically incorrect term yet. I don't think there were any sort of political correctness
right.
at the time. I'm fine with it used there. Or like you were saying, you know, certain people just say that, you know. I'm fine with, When we briefly touched on this earlier, my wife had mentioned Merle from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, you know, a lot of very racist things he said to T-Dog.
Oh, yeah. In the first season.
And that helped define his character.
Yeah, he was a racist like that. Yeah. That was like...
I, from a personal standpoint, don't approve of the word, but I think it has its use. I think every horrible word has a use.
Yeah.
Do you ever see Inherit the Wind?
What?
You ever see Inherit the Wind?
No.
There's a lot of swearing in that, too. You know, goddamn this, goddamn that. And the prosecuting attorney is a preacher as well.
And he's like, Your Honor, can you tell the defendant's attorney to refrain from saying things like that? And he argues that these are just other words. You're the one that applies the meaning to them.
Right.
And these are, I need all the words at my disposal to help defend this man.
Now, the argument you can use against there is, as, like, goddamn might offend certain religious folks, it's not a demeaning term to a race of people, I think is the problem.
It's not.
But, because...
It's demeaning. Well, I guess it's not. It's not even demeaning to religious people, is it?
No, because considering I have
taken the word.
I had a lot of Catholic family, and they're not so Catholic anymore. And I've definitely probably heard that more from a Catholic family than I've heard from anybody else. So, but yeah, I was kind of curious to that. And the other thing is like, how much do you need to show of sex in comics? Because Joe Casey has a book out right now called Sex. And I don't know, you don't even make it to comic book shops. Have you even tried to flip through it yet, Justin, or anything like that?
No, I don't think I'd be interested.
I'm not even interested in reading it, but there's some, it's gratuitous, to say the least. Like, there is a full-on close-up drawing shot of a vagina.
What's the story?
I don't know. I
like Joe Casey, I don't pick up floppies anymore.
I don't know what his story is. I know I did read something really funny about the second issue because I went in and I was talking to Jared about it. I'm like, is this book really still happening? And I guess it caught a lot of flack on the first issue. And they posted one of the things, one of the letters that was written into about it said, like, I don't even understand what the point of the vagina shot was. And Joe Casey just ripped this guy. Like, he's like, you're a piece of... Like, he called him everything in the book and said, you're an idiot and you're not looking into what the actual meaning and there's a reason behind I'm actually doing this because the sex is a part of this lifestyle that this person's leading and it's almost like a corporate business world. I don't know. I've only tried to look at it once and I'm like, I don't even know if I can read this book. Like, I don't read nudie bags. It's just not my thing, so... Watch it.
The discomfort, a taboo.
Yeah, it's not... I don't know. I don't know if he's just... purposely trying to put that out there for people like what's too much, like where do you, when your artistic ability, like, is it just like an embrace and you guys are like then you can just allude to something, or what would you be willing to show?
I think I would pretty much show anything.
You would show anything?
Yeah, I mean, if it makes sense in the scene.
Okay,
not just to show it to shock people, but if there's a guy taking a piss at a urinal, guess what he's got in his hands?
You would show that, though?
Maybe.
Straight up Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon, or...
if it was relevant. And it depends on what book I was working on, too. I mean...
You wouldn't put it in the middle of Iron Ink, right?
No.
You may be just showing him peeing behind a cactus.
But you know what? That would totally be fine in Clobber Vance, because I got Cthulhu, for God's sake.
Right. What have you shown more than just kissing before, Justin?
Let me ask that question. I've been trying to...
Oh, okay. I figured you were. That's what I was thinking. Because honestly, I mean...
And we alluded to it in Tim Risen.
Right. I think that's probably the closest you've actually came then, huh?
Is that with Tim and the girl with the mutton?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the girl from the
medieval
time. Yeah. Not like the
not
restaurant.
Not the restaurant.
I don't think I've ever shown it.
Or would you?
Like, no.
I still think one of the best things I've ever seen is from Steranko. Where he was working on Nick Fury I can't remember the girl who was in there. It was the redhead girl, though. I can't think of who it is. But Steranko had this series of things, and this is back when Comic Book Authority was.
Oh, and this is where they show
the pistol. This is great. So it shows him, and he embraces her, and they kiss her, and he was showing like a different angle of the kissing. And the Comic Book Authority's like, that's too much. You have too much intimacy on this. And it was like a long shot. So instead of just scrapping the page or that one little panel, because I think it's like 12 panels or 8 panels on the page or something like that, they instead zoom in on a picture of Nick Fury's gun, which is an oversized gun in a small holster, and it's bulging out. That sends more of a message. Steranko even's like, that works even better. Go ahead, guys, do what you need to do. And I'm like... I think you could do subtle things like that, and like that's unintentional, but like some things I just feel like people want to draw TNA, and that's just not my book. You know, I don't need to see.
But are your feelings different if it was a villain, Justin?
I can't think of anything I've drawn like that in any of the books.
No, but would you?
No.
Like, you'd never see...
I wouldn't be interested in drawing.
Well, I'm not just saying, like, penetration.
Right.
Well, no, I mean...
No, I'm just... Sorry, I wasn't expecting you to say that.
I mean, I've drawn, I'm not saying... semi-naked ladies, but I usually keep them covered up in some way. I can't recall or even wanting to. I mean, even maybe when I was younger, I would be more interested in it. But now,
because of the image stuff and everything.
Well, no, just I meant
curious.
Maybe because I was Gemini serials. But now, with even more, you know, kids and everything, I just want to be interested in even doing that.
Well, I think about, I keep going back to, you know, the context of the story, the space thing. Me and Mike keep talking about here and there. I keep thinking people are going to get naked eventually. Because if they're, like, running out of fuel and they're going to recycle their clothing. Hmm. You see what I'm getting at? And
yeah.
They're not naked, like, sexy naked. They're, like, naked and scared and cold.
Right. Like people that are, like, in the desert and you're, like, going for minimal coverage, like, at night.
Exactly.
Or something like...
Yeah.
I see what... So not done intentional to, like, show, like, a sweat room scene where you're, like,
oh look
alien
at this.
Chick's pretty hot.
Yeah, that's... And I'm thinking situations
Jim
like that...
Jimmy, can we get a pinup over here? Sign your name in the corner. We're going to do a double-page spread. Screw it. We're going to do a four-page. We're going to fold it out just for you, Jim. Cake, all right, buddy? God.
I think situations like that would be fine
when
it comes to nudity. But I can never see myself being involved in a comic where, like, somebody steps up out of a jacuzzi or something.
And just hang on to their dangling parts, right?
Yeah, I do. Unless, and I go back to, you know, context and character, unless it's someone, pardon the pun, but someone cocky. And just stands up, you know, to embarrass everyone else in the room.
People get mad because Garth Ennis and Mark Millar would do that kind of, or Miller, would do that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And I guess it's the artist, too. It's probably their determination. And there's one thing I've noticed about a lot of the people that Ennis and those guys work with, like Carlos... yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Derek Robertson and Steve Dillon. Those guys have no shame in showing whatever.
No.
Eric Powell is another good person.
Yeah, but I think Powell does it because it is shocking and it is funny.
Well, Powell, if you read Satan's Sodomy, baby.
Yeah.
Like, he purposely does that because there's so much gay stuff at the beginning that he's like, he's being the angry fanboy nerd who's saying, where's the boobies? And he just draws a huge boob just to be ridiculous. But that's, that's like, what, 5% of the audience that's probably reading that book, too.
Yeah.
So it's in context, in a sense, too. To be perfect, like, it's meant to be over the
top. I'm thinking of, like, you said Steve Dillon. I'm thinking of all the nudity in Preacher. That made sense to me.
Did that bother you when you were reading Preacher?
No, I knew I was reading an R-rated comic.
Right.
Yeah.
I know I'm watching an R-rated movie.
Right.
You know, if I'm watching, like, a PG movie and it happens or something, then it's a little different.
Right.
If I know what movie I'm watching.
So you consider all your work to be, like, PG-ish?
At least PG-13. I don't think... I mean, then again, I had no problem torturing someone.
So, you're just... And you tell people this because of the Studio Kumikaze thing, that you're not a TNA fan. Like,
no.
Yeah. And so you found a way to do a TNA, which I like the pinup that you did, without being TNA. Like,
right.
you found a way, like, because she's holding those bombs.
Yeah,
but
she's clothed.
Yeah.
Right, she's clothed, but she's clearly doing
it's
a
suggestive.
Pose.
Right.
Right, but it's... And, the, you know, the... Yeah, everything's there.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever they are.
Bombs?
Yeah, but the things on the bombs.
The
fuses are, you know, in the nipple area. So, yeah, I would do that. I mean, I have no problem doing that. But.
It's almost satire in a sense, too, which I like. I think it's kind of nice. Or, like, it...
I guess
it's a double
like
entendre.
Starenko,
once again,
you know, the gun. I just can't think I would imagine...
The bombs are more enticing than the boobs.
Yeah, I just don't think I would... But I have no problem torturing people. I mean, I torture people in my comics.
Yeah, you have.
You know,
you
I'm
beat
not
the
very
crap
nice
out of
to
Dark Shadow. Like,
Dark
Shadow, like,
character. Sounds,
and that's a woman.
Yeah.
At times.
And I gave her, you know, I have no problem torturing my characters, but I just don't.
Is that an American thing? Is it a culture thing?
So here's the other thing, too. Like, you don't, it's just, not just women. You can do it to a guy, too, easily, though, right?
Torture?
Yeah.
Yeah, I either mentally torture characters.
Right. Now, did you, were you a fan of The Authority?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know much about the
Mark Millar. The thing that's always haunted me in comics. Like, the most evil of evil things I ever remember reading or seeing in a comic is when the Doctor came back, took over his powers. Do you remember? I think this is a Mark Millar's run. The Doctor came back, took powers from the drug-addled Doctor. This was like the chubby Doctor. And he went back in time and molested the Engineer when she was a little girl. So that when he flashed back to them fighting, he reminded her of that, and it freaked her out. And I thought, that is one of the most disturbing ways to fight someone I could ever imagine.
He's kind of jacked up. Like, him, Morrison, and Ennis just all hang around like, what's the next fucked up thing we could do?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they kind of have that.
Well, there was an article here lately talking about Alan Moore. Someone gets raped in all his comics.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, oh, so Hyde bends over the Invisible Man.
Yeah, exactly. There's all.
I had no problem with that either.
Yeah. Right.
Because I know what I'm reading.
Right.
I think it's completely, you know, out there.
What did you think of the Engineer getting raped? Did that bother you?
I don't.
Do you remember it?
I don't remember.
Man, that stuck with me.
Was it Quietly who was doing it that time? No. Or was it Hitch? It was it Hitch?
No, it was that Quietly Art Adams, Both of Us Are Slow, Let's Take Turns. And then the issues will come out months late.
Rainer?
No. No, no, no. It was like Quietly and Art Adams. Remember when they were?
No, I don't read. I wasn't reading.
I don't recall either. I just remember. I that remember joining like the Authority, both
Morrison and
Millar's around.
Because I remember there being another thing that's popped up to
Ellis.
Me.
Ellis, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
I think it was like a president or CEO or whatever. He had this big cigar, big phallic cigar, and he kept flicking the ash into Swift's mouth. Like, she was just sitting next to him with her tongue sticking out, mouth open, like tears running down. But she's just sitting there taking it like a good girl. And he just kept flicking the ash into her mouth and he put it out on her tongue.
Now, there was some.
I'm like, my God, just ram it in her. Get it over with. Why are you. The drawn out, not that big of a deal thing made me more uncomfortable with it.
I don't recall any of this.
Those are, like, the most uncomfortable comics I've ever read.
I wonder how Gail Simone thought about that. Because she was the big perpetrator for the. Woman in the Fridge thing from Ron Mars and Daryl Banks run, right?
Yeah.
From Green Lantern.
Yep, yep.
So
Kyle's girlfriend.
Allison.
You know, yeah. Kyle's lucky I remember his name. The hell is his girlfriend's name?
So then what about, like, as we're keeping on these, like, taboo subjects, what about, like, writing, is it arrogant as us for guys to try to write from a perspective of a woman? This came up on Twitter, too. This was a big conversation with a bunch of people, and Derek Robertson asked a question about it. That's the reason it only came up on my Twitter feed. But, like...
you've written more women.
Like, would you write about feminist issues, or, do you find it arrogant to try... Like, looking back at it now, do you think it's, like, I can't... Yeah, I think I did that pretty well. Or you think, oh my God, why was I trying to write a woman character like that? You know what I mean? I'm not saying, like, a guy should only have to write a guy, but I'm just saying, like...
What's the Jack Nicholson quote from?
I know what you think.
as
good as it gets.
Yeah, I think what a man would do when I take out logic and reason.
Stupid.
It's funny.
It's hilarious.
My thoughts on feminism have always been a little skewed because I don't really believe in it.
Well, you had a lot more female role models.
That's exactly why. Because my mom was my main.
Yeah, my mom raised me for
person,
the first
person.
Yeah.
So. For me, the female was the head of the house, the main provider of everything, the work, you know, everything. So, you know, later on in life, when I would talk to people and they talk about glass ceilings or feminism, it just didn't make any sense to me. I mean, I'm the product of
feminism. Yeah.
I'm what, there is no concept.
Right.
And that doesn't make me going out and saying, you know, I'm not going out and saying.
You never saw your mother struggle and fail?
No, she was just a person that did what she was supposed to do. And when I think back to it, that's, for me at least, that's what it's supposed to be about. That's the next step. I'm the next step.
Right.
So when I write characters.
That's why you write strong female leads.
I write strong
people. Do you go out of your way to write strong female leads? Or it's just that's the way females are to you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I haven't written a lot of women, but, like, Effie from Iron and Ink, she's just another character to me. I don't consider how would a woman approach this. I consider how would that character approach this? How would now, that person with that
now,
history?
Did you go to put a woman as the gunslinger on purpose to try to diverse it?
Yeah, because I wanted to do...
You wanted to do the opposite of the Western, though. So it wasn't like, I just need to find a reason to put a woman in here. You wanted to figure out, how do you take a Western tale and put a spin on it that hasn't been done 1,000 times?
I wanted
times?
To make the gunslinger the damsel.
Right. Yeah, oh, I get it. The guy's the damsel. Yep.
Well, no, she's the damsel, but she's also the one with the power. She needs help from Barmaya Stein, but she's fast with a gun already. She can take care of herself physically.
It's the other stuff.
Yeah.
That's the mystery solving.
I mean, Dark Shadow. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, it was originally a man when I originally created the character.
Yeah.
And I ended up making it look manly. I just had a female being patted down.
Right. What changed your mind to make a female character?
I don't recall at all.
It's been over 10 years.
Right? Can you imagine a situation that you would have to write and you wouldn't know how to handle it? As a man writing a woman? Because there's certain, like, pregnancy, childbirth. I only know that from the outside. I don't know what it feels like to have a body growing inside of you. I don't know what it feels like to have that pulled out of you and you're thrown into the world. I don't understand those things.
And you don't have the postpartum separation either.
Well, yeah, and none of us went through that. And our puberty is drastically different from a woman's puberty. So I have no idea how their experiences were going through that. Because me, I was always a furry little kid. And then it just got furrier. You know, it wasn't... You know what I'm saying, though? Absolutely. It's like, my body changed. I just got tall and...
Furry.
My clothes didn't fit anymore. You know? Yeah. It wasn't like, you're a woman now.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would not know how to write a story about a woman experiencing her first period or anything like that. I would have no freaking clue.
You wouldn't try to write a story like that either, though.
I can't say I would avoid it at all costs.
Would you seek outside help for it, though?
I think I'd have to.
Right.
But even then, who do I talk to? I can ask my wife, obviously, but that's her experience.
Right.
Hey, Mom,
tell me
about...
There's no general experience, I don't think, but...
No, that's what I would want to get varied experiences.
Oh, I got you. I see what you're saying. You would probably write special thanks to someone.
I don't know. Do I? Thanks for the menstrual chat.
I don't know. I mean, if you're getting outside ideas and influences, wouldn't you have to credit those people?
I never had before.
You faked me in a book, so I that's did. Technically not true.
So if you're writing from another race, you know,
right.
It's not Caucasian, you know, do you also then think, or you just, I mean, for me, it's just...
Have you experienced
that? I just think
of
a character. I don't think...
But you have a storytelling mind where you don't think of yourself as like, I'm a white person trying to write a black guy. You're thinking, well, how would this character be reacting to
said
situation?
He just happens to be black or happens to be a woman or happens to be whatever. I just kind of like to try to write characters as opposed to
defining them by what they are or like by their look or what, you know.
Yeah, I get that. You know, I do not like T-Dog in The Walking Dead. I did not like the character at all.
Well, you're lucky. Because he's not around anymore.
Yeah. So when I got to that, I was very happy. But I felt he was a very stereotypical character.
This is the problem we ran into with Smallville, too. Pete Ross was a good character. He was Clark's friend. He wasn't defined as a... and we actually kind of touched some of this about the Man of Steel a little bit, too, didn't we?
No.
Maybe we were just having the conversation in the car, but...
No, we did. Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, but Pete Ross was... He was not... He was just a kid. Like, he was a kid who was Clark's friend and everything. He was just a black kid.
Yeah.
He didn't have to act a certain way. In the later seasons, they purposely made him angsty and all...
Like, did he leave Smallville and come back with different experiences?
No, it was... what was the episode where he was driving the race car? You remember? He was like...
It was Kryptonite.
Yeah, he was street racing, and he was like, Clark, why are you always talking to me? Like, and you're like, why did Pete all of a sudden become like a guy from The Wire?
Well, like, I kept on waiting for T-Dog to reveal his name. Like, it can't be T-Dog. And
Terrence.
Something. Anything. But it was never that. And I just thought it was a very stereotypical character.
That his name was T-Dog. But I don't remember him ever saying anything stereotypical.
Well, I do. And I mean, I'm not going to quote it, but I just remember being very upset every time.
In the second episode?
Was it?
Where he's on the roof with
but then
Michael
Merle
Rucker.
Is a stereotypical... You know,
racist.
And I didn't really care for that character either.
Who, Merle?
Merle, Michael Rooker.
Is that right? Who you're talking? Okay.
Yeah.
Are you caught up on that show?
I have not watched the last half because we ordered cable.
But
so the last half of season 3
is
I know. Yeah. I know
okay.
about that.
Okay.
But and I also know what happens.
Yeah.
But
because I
at the same time I just didn't care for the character.
I think that added more to moral that he was such a horrible person.
I guess
it's. Were you thinking it was one of those things where, like, because of the situation, that people would go back on, like, their character flaws?
Well, I mean, I've written stereotypical characters on purpose. I wrote a character called Minuscule. You know, she's a short black girl, and she wore, like, big loop earrings, and she talked.
Who was that super strong army guy?
Which one?
Through a Jeep at Crimson Thunder.
Oh,
Johnny Hammerstein?
Johnny Hammerstein.
That was an a-hole.
Yeah, and he would do stuff, but I guess.
But he was friends with Nixon, so what do you expect?
Yeah, he was, and Ike. And no, Ike. Not Ike. Well, probably Ike too. But anyhow, I didn't like T-Dog. I know we're running, but I couldn't stand T-Dog.
This was an interesting conversation that's been on my mind, and I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer. I just wanted to know your opinions on it because I think it's got to be in a context base, and I think you have to have some of it at some point in time. I think it's when stereotypes are overused that it becomes awful or redundant. Not readable, I guess is my
opinion. Think, and I want to wrap this up, but I would be remiss not to mention Sam Keith when we're talking about feminism. Because I think Sam Keith is probably the best male writer-artist who's handled female characters. Now, you can say, you know, they've got, you know, it's TNA all over the place, but there was depth to Julie and his series Four Women was, I thought, spectacular.
Hmm.
Did you ever read Four Women?
I have it, but I don't think I ever
read it. There's rape in it. I mean, it's horrible, but at the same time, it's beautiful because the character's overcoming these things and moving past it. It was just, I don't know, Sam Keith should have been a woman. And I'm surprised he doesn't write more comics with women.
Maybe it's short for Samantha, you just didn't know it.
He's got a hell of a mustache. Okay, we good?
We're good, we'll be back.
Who can turn a heart with a smile? Who can take a blank page and make it all seem worthwhile? Simmons can, Scott D.M. Simmons can. So that you'll always know it, give his website a little click, and his smile will show it. NotSimmons.com, ScottD.M.Simmons.com, ScottD.M.Simmons.com.
Alright, we're back to say so long, farewell.
Happy to say.
Good night.
To 55.
To episode 55.
The bells and the whistles.
Realize that I am the person that most likely hates feminism. And black people.
You'll be called out on it, because remember after we did the political talk, you were like, well, Justin, I'm surprised he's not voting for blah, 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 blah.
I can't remember
blah.
Who ran.
Yeah, I know. It was really funny. I was like, how did Justin come off as the right-wing conservative?
Yeah,
so it's like Reed Richards versus the devil. Wasn't that the last
one? I'm anti-feminism, and I'm anti...
You're not anti-feminism, you're a product of feminism.
Well,
it's different.
According
we
to
don't,
towns.
We don't get the we don't get the angry commenters anymore.
We don't get a lot of commenters anymore. It upsets me.
I delete like 130 posts about Cialis every day.
I know, but I get so... We need to pump that up more somehow, because...
Another contest!
No, contests. That guy still comes to me every once in a while.
Which guy?
The Willow guy?
Yeah.
Which guy is that?
I don't know.
The Wheeler?
No, Wheeler's cool.
Who's the Willow guy?
There was two people that technically won, right? Was it that with the whole debacle?
Yeah,
was
well, it was...
We don't need it. Let's not start this back up again. It's fine. It's like 2 years ago, but it's fine. Let's just leave it.
two years and six episodes.
It still haunts me. So.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what else to do.
About the Willow? No,
no, not the Willow. I don't know what the...
Well, I try to, you know, I guess, because if you say comment, then you get a comment on your Facebook page.
Which is okay. Right?
I think we should just start copying and pasting them into it. Be like, hey, so-and-so said this on my Facebook. You have their name on there? Why not?
What do you mean, send them like... Take comments from my site, put them on Facebook?
No, take comments from Facebook and put them on your site.
How many comments do we get on Facebook?
I don't know.
We get a lot. We should get more.
Now, you guys repost what I... This is so not a goodbye conversation. So...
Well, actually, what we're doing is we're asking for comments.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what
we're saying. So, comment.
Give us a mother... No, just give us a comment.
Come on, baby.
Yeah, I mean, there was that... What was that small thing on the last one? It wasn't like a comment, but it was. It wasn't in the comment section, but it was very small. And
I don't know. I can't figure that... Somehow that person has commented, like, on the back end.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, the same color as my background.
Right.
I tried to move it to the comments section. Because it's somebody asking about, hey, whatever happened to Mike's time travel comic? Mike, your solo time travel comic.
Yeah, how did that become mine? Because I'm the artist, everybody. I do everything. And Justin just drew the pretty logo. That's all he did.
The pretty, pretty logo.
Let's be honest. Justin's done 75% of that book, so.
Well, I'm gonna have to move the comment. Because we can't comment back to it. But I don't know how they commented outside of the comment section.
That's really bizarre. You have something unlocked.
Somebody I'll work on trying to get more comments.
I'll see what I can do, too. I'll keep posting this on Facebook. So.
Twitter.
Michael T. Adams II on Twitter. Michael T. Adams II on Facebook. Break-ins on Twitter. Break-ins on Facebook. Whack Comics on Facebook.
Do not whack comics on Facebook.
Is that gone?
No, it was just kind of controversial.
Oh, like the mafia whack? Or like wanker whack?
Masturbation.
Okay, there we go. We got no problem with those words, fellow.
It's been haunting me for 7 years.
I'm
all over the place. Just type Justin Wasson.
Justin Wasson's our...
Google
him. Somewhere.
Google him.
You'll find
Justin Wasson on Facebook.
Are you on Google Plus yet?
I keep getting bad updates about how the new Gmail's working now on people's phones.
I don't know. My Gmail's fine. BruceLeeHughes.com. I'm on the internet.
I'm also on Twitter, always suggesting how to lose extra weight.
The only things I've ever seen you tweet are apologies.
I saw you say something to Larson. It was probably a couple years ago, but I know you definitely...
thanked him for filling up my half box.
Yeah, so...
I try to get on Twitter. Yeah. I try to update our Twitter.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be the tweet master.
I know. I keep forgetting the tweet from that side. I tweet all the time on the other one. I'm getting
it.